Blog Talk Radio.
You've been gone, it's an empty home. Come on back where you really belong. You are always welcome home, welcome home. You've been kept down for much too long.
Welcome to the Center for Repatriation Assistance podcast. I'm your host, D. Ryan, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another show on our podcast. As always, first and foremost, we always want to remind you of our mission here at the Center for Repatriation Assistance Program. Our main mission is to serve as a business incubator, assisting our brothers and sisters here in the diaspora set up businesses on the African continent, and to ensure the success of those businesses. So I'll go ahead and I'll give you our website to get some more information. Our website is sankofarepat.com. That is sankofarepat.com, sankofarepat.com. So we do want to encourage you to go to our website and get some more information on our program, and also to consider to become a monthly Patreon contributor, and also to support us to ensure that we're successful on our mission. You could choose to donate as little as $1 per month to help us get to our mission much quicker. We have seen where our brothers and sisters have been donating more than $1. So if you could do a little bit more, we're thankful. And if you could do at least $1, we're still thankful. I want to go ahead and I give you our social media information. You can find us on Twitter at Program Sankofa, and on Instagram, we're at Sankofa Repatriation. On Facebook and YouTube, we're thankful for Repatriation Assistance Program, and we always want to encourage you to follow us on our social media streams. That's where you will get the latest information. Right now, we want to welcome to the show our co-host, Adriana. How are you doing?
I'm great. Blessed. Happy to see you another day. Thank you for having me.
Yes, as always, we're happy to have you here, and I'm always happy to have our listeners joining us for the show. I just gave out the information for our social media streams. I want to remind you that on Facebook, we are now able to go live. Sister Ya has done about 3 shows so far, live streams on Facebook. So I want to encourage you to follow us on Facebook to see those live streams. And Sister Ya is always so vibrant in our streams. I would encourage you to check out her streams. Yes, she's so passionate about the work that she is doing. So we want to encourage you to follow us on Facebook and check out the live streams. Also, I want to give out information on our very special guest that we have today. We're having Mr. Akram Stanford Dyer, and he will be talking to us about the African Cooperative Union. And giving us some more information on what the work that he has been doing with the organization and how will it benefit our people in our community. So again, please remember to go to our website. It is sankofarepat.com. That's sankofarepat.com, and get some more information and on what we're doing here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. Also, share this the website on your social media streams just to create some awareness of what we're doing. and encourage people, you know, to donate and contribute at least $1 per month. So right now we're going to go ahead and bring on our very special guest. Joining us from all the way from the UK, we have our very special guest with us today, Mr. Akram Stanford Dyer. So I want to welcome you to the show. How are you doing?
Well, good morning over here. Good evening over there.
Good evening. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes. You're coming in through just fine.
Okay, fine. All right. I wasn't sure.
Great.
Great.
So we want to thank you very much for taking the time out to join us on our program here. And I'm very sure that the information that you will be sharing with us will be very informative, and our people will appreciate it in our community. I see just joining us is our very own Sister Yah. Sister Yah, how are you doing?
I'm fine, brother. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so pumped up from watching your live stream today. You were so vibrant in that stream.
I get worked up sometimes. But it's only because I love our people. That's all.
Yes, yes. It's all in the name of love. So when you go ahead and kick off our show with our very special guest, I want to thank you very much again for taking the time to telling our people about the African Cooperative Union and how it will benefit our community. So, Mr. Akram, can you go ahead and give us a little background on the the African Cooperative Union and what motivated you to start the organization?
I'm sorry, but shouldn't we let him tell us a little bit about himself first so they can get a feel for who he is?
Oh, great. Yep. That's a very good idea. Thank you. Okay, great. You can tell us, give us a little bit about your background also.
Yes, my name is Akram Stanford Dyer. I was born in the island of Montserrat in the Caribbean.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And about 30 years ago, I happened to go to Africa. The first place I went was Malawi, but mainly my target was Tanzania.
Okay.
And I have been in Africa on and off for the last 30 years. I grew up in England. I came here over 50 years ago in the UK. I was a sailor in the Merchant Navy for 7 years, and also a London taxi driver. So traveling is a great part of my life, really. That's mostly what I know. Here in London, I own a grocery store some years back, and I trained as a welder. I have been living on and off in Africa for the past 30 years, and as I said before, I had several businesses in Africa. I built boats. I had transport in lorries. As I said, you can see from my background that transport has always mostly been my life. And
uh-huh.
Had lorries, buses. I had a manufacturing factory where I used to manufacture household blocks.
Uh-huh.
Had mechanical garages. Things. All this I had in Africa. I mean, at one stage, I had well over 100 people in employment in Africa.
Nice.
So that is my background, and that is what also led me to developing the African Cooperative Union, because of my my exploits within Africa, realizing what needs to be done. And there's a radio program over here which is called Galaxy Radio, and one day they was asking the question, what can be done about our situation, because our situation as black people is very dire. And I said, well, I know what can be done because I've been in Africa, I've been doing business in Africa, and I realize what we need to do in order to be able to take ourselves out of the problems that we're in. As I told my father-in-law, we were the early pioneers 30 years ago. Africa was the place that it is now. So you could imagine trying to do business there then. It was not very easy. So it taught me a lot of what we need to do in the context of and what we're up against, because what we're up against is we're up against a mighty force, a lot of people with a lot of money, and also people with a mindset that we as black people, it's okay if we have a little stall down the road, but when you try to compete with them at their level, you know, at the bigger level, then they will give you problems, you know. They will give you problems. I mean, we can overcome it, and that's why, as I said, I know what needs to be done, because the only way we can overcome that is by uniting together. And basically, as I said, my look is through cooperatives, because for me, the capitalist system is not working for Africa, I cannot see us competing with these people on the capitalist level. So we need something which is totally different from the system, and I believe that the cooperative movement, the cooperative idea, is a way that we can actually take ourselves out of that situation. I will pause here, and then I can let you all come in.
Nice. Well, I really do appreciate that. It seems you're building on the theme that we have strength in numbers. Can you expand on that a little?
Well, strength in numbers is that, for me, because I come from a small island of the Caribbean, I see how things develop, because my country in the Caribbean, which is Montserrat, became, as one American lady said to me, asking me the question of where I'm from, and I asked her, do you know this country? And she said, yeah, it is considered in the States only if you win the lottery that you go there. So it shows you how my country developed, 50 years ago. I mean, it developed to such a state that that was the mindset of people at the time. And one of the reasons why that was, because, as I said, I came to UK in '65, and I went back after 7 years, and I realized that many of the young men that I went to school with was on their way to being millionaires, right? Mm-hmm. And here I was in a foreign land, and there, many of them, they did not leave the country, but they were doing quite well. And I, so looking into why they were doing so well, and that was because they, at this time, the country started developing building, and they used to work a lot together in building what they were doing. So therefore, if you have a friend and you're building your house, they will come along and help you to build it. So therefore, you would not have to have the cost of having to pay a lot of money for builders to build it, right? So to me, that was where I realized the cooperative movement of people can really change the lives of many, or you know, of our people, if we should basically work together in this vein.
Okay, great. So I see where you're from, set up as a cooperative. So I take it that our people here in the committee can be members. So how could one be a member?
Well, the cooperative that we set up here in the UK basically is cooperative for UK UK citizens, but we have a strain which is also for the diaspora, where we can work with diaspora agents in order to set up cooperatives in different countries around the world. So that was the part of my mindset at the time, that really we need to form one of the biggest companies that the world has ever seen. So therefore, if we're going to do that, we have to learn to unite right across the board, right across the world, in unison with one one company in mind, whether, you know, working together in order to challenge the Walmart and the other people like that, because, as I said, they've long gone off the earth, gone past Jupiter, and we're still trying to lift off. So the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to be able to form the biggest company, which Africa is the biggest continent and has the biggest potential within the world, and there's no reason why we should not be able to do that.
Yeah, that's so true. So, okay, so what I want to find out and what I want to learn about the African Cooperative Union is how is it structured and how will our people in the community interact with it as far as, you know, being a part or, you know, enjoying some of the benefits and taking advantage of what it has to offer. How will our people interact with the cooperative?
Well, what we would like people to do is to set up different branches across the world, like in America, set up an African Cooperative Union there, and then you know, and then we work together in tandem, you know, like with the main company here, and we can set up one in Brazil, we can set up one in Jamaica, and so on and so forth. And then we, by so doing, we start trading across borders, trading with each other, sharing information, sharing knowledge, sharing, you know, whatever it is that it takes to uplift us from where we are. That is basically how it is actually basically structured at the moment for cooperatives to be set up in different places. But as I said, interacting with each other, sharing information, and you know, and working in tandem of, you know, different ideas, share ideas, also share whatever business that we can work, whatever we can see in business that can be done here with partners in UK or partners in Trinidad or partners in Jamaica or partners anywhere. You know, that's what we should be doing. That's what the whole idea of the African Cooperative Union.
I think this is the point where I bring in Sister Ya. Do I hear a cooperative in Ghana?
You asked me about what about a cooperative in Ghana?
A cooperative. So, Brother Akram was just sharing with us how will the community interact with the African Cooperative Union. And from what he's saying is that right now he would like, you know, for our members in the diaspora to set up satellite units of the African Cooperative Union. So that's what I was just kind of hinting at you, saying, do we hear one being set up in Ghana?
Well, I mean, listen, what he's saying is basically what we've been saying, is that in order for us to come out of this situation, we have got to start working cooperatively. This is what I've been preaching. This is the only solution, you know. So anything, I definitely 100% support the brother and the cooperative union, because this is the solution. This is basically what Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. It's working cooperatively. It's coming together and pooling resources for the betterment of our group. So definitely we would absolutely work with him and partner with him to, you know, to set up a cooperative, a branch in Ghana. It makes absolute sense. This is the only solution. And at this point, I think it's so crystal clear that working together and coming together, this is what other groups of people do. And I know what Brother Akram is saying about how they build houses in the Caribbean is absolutely true, because I've seen it. I've seen on St. Croix and they will come together and help build each other's houses. That's how they get the houses built. They don't go and get a bunch of mortgages. I mean, I don't know about now. Now they do, but I do know that there are still brothers and sisters over there. That's how they get their houses built. They come together and they work together and to get each other's houses built. So, and this is the same thing we've been saying about how other groups of people come together, they put their money together, and they come over here and they get a store, and they let some of them work in that store until they get on it, then they move on to something bigger and better, and then the next one come in and get to have the store. I've seen it. You know what I mean? They have to work together. They understand cooperative economics. For some reason, we're lagging behind, but we got to get it together.
So true. So brother Akram, what keeps popping up in the back of my mind is every time I try to say the name, somehow a credit union keeps popping up in my mind. So I want you to kind of draw some contrast between the two, a cooperative union and a credit union. I know that might be different, but I want you to expound on that for me.
Well, they both go hand in hand because at the moment we are trying to because there are different types of credit unions. There some churches have credit unions. Some credit unions are set up for a town, for a special town, for a special neighborhood, and things like that. But right now, as I said to you, our mindset is not thinking small or just small community. So basically what we're trying to do at the moment, we're trying to set up a credit union in UK for the whole of UK rather than for just London, rather than just for Brixton or just for Manchester or something like that. You see what I'm saying? So we are basically, the credit union is is normally the area like a bank. I mean, because at the moment it would be very difficult to get a bank set up, but there's no problem in setting up a credit union. And a credit union is where the cooperative groups of people can actually bank their money. And also from that credit union, they can also withdraw money in order, borrow money from that credit union in order to facilitate business. Of, as I said, which the business that we're trying to encourage people to do is to come together in tandem in groups to form cooperative business, rather than single individuals trying to do things. There's nothing wrong with single individuals, but the more we can come together in cooperative, the stronger we will be, and also. We take others along with us rather than as just individuals. And hopefully my also take behind that is that we start rebuilding the love that we have lost, because the point is if you know that your life depends on that other person over there, the chances are you'll make good friends with that person, isn't it? Because you know that if he fails, you'll fail as well. So the whole idea, so it's a bigger structure than just looking at business. The whole idea is to bring the family back, right?
Yeah.
Is to bring the family back that we have lost.
So what I'm seeing here is an overall push for, a cooperative effort in going on a business venture. So you're saying, if you can't go it alone, you could come be a part of the cooperative, and now we have like-minded people here. Let's form a cooperative to get this particular business going. That is the case, pretty much, right?
Well, can I just highlight something? And I bring it up all the time. I mean, sometimes people don't like me to bring it up, but I have to bring it up because the reality is there. Okay, remember back in the 50s and 60s. We had the civil rights movement. We have all people marching and moving to try to get equality and other things like that, right? Now, in Spain, there was a group of people in the Basque region, and they also had issues with Spain at the time, okay? And they wanted a separate state. They wanted a separate state, just the same like what we are trying to fight for in America. So they realized that they could not win the battle in the way that they were going. So what they did was they set up a cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They set up a cooperative, which that cooperative today has got a turnover of over $15 billion. $15 billion. No company in America, black company in America, has even come close.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And whilst we were marching and doing all of these things, they didn't march. They went and formed a cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
If you it does it, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it uplifts their people, right? The whole town of Mondragon is owned by all the people there. They have their own universities, schools, hospitals, everything. And they, and
mm-hmm.
although the population of Mondragon is about 25,000 people, they employ over 85,000 people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So doesn't cooperative make sense?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
incredible.
Mhm. Mhm. It does
right?
make perfect sense.
It makes all the sense
yeah.
in the world. It's like crystal clear. It's the solution. It's
mm-hmm.
like working cooperatively as a group of people
mm-hmm.
towards a common aim and goal is the solution for all
mm-hmm.
of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I think one thing about that is you need like-minded people, you know, like-visioned people, people who see the same vision and also the need for that vision, you know, the need to see it
right.
thing through. And I think here at Sankofa, I keep saying it every time I speak, I say, so far, everyone that I've come in contact with, we're on the same, you know, the same path, you know. So I think, you know, we're in the right place. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the only thing is action.
Mm-hmm.
The
action.
Only thing is we know what the solution is. So now
mm-hmm.
the
yep.
only thing is action. That's what the people of Mondragon did. They
mm-hmm.
didn't continue to march and whatever. They put it into
mm-hmm.
action.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Brother Abram, right now
yeah.
with the economies of the West beginning to collapse, I think our people are going to be out of their comfort zones now. I think reality is about to really set in. You know, I we had a show today, and what we were talking about was the fact that these economies are not going to be able to recover. As soon as the coronavirus is gone, it's not going to be like we can instantly go back to a couple months ago. You know, so reality is going to sit in that we need each other now. You understand? That's what I believe. I think that as long as our people are halfway comfortable and managing and was able to, you know, drive their nice little cars and go get their check and at least survive
yep.
the next check, they're fairly comfortable. But now
mm-hmm.
they're going to be made uncomfortable and they're going to realize
mm-hmm.
that we have to work together.
Right.
Well, the other thing is, right, okay, I mean, as I said, I've been in Africa now over 30 years, and as I said, I'm from the Caribbean. The Caribbean is beautiful. I mean, everybody, you know, but as I said, once I went to Africa, I did not see the Caribbean anymore. It's too small. It's too small. Too small for my mind,
mm-hmm.
if you understand what I'm saying. It's just too
yes,
small
I
for
understand.
My mind.
Perfect.
You see? And when people talk about the American dream, I said, look, in Africa, you can dream as big as you want to be. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, the American dream is small compared with what you can dream in Africa. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah? Right? Okay? And
yep.
and that, for me, is where it's at. And I give you a couple of examples. Many years ago, because as I said to you, I'm a taxi driver. I had this white man. He's a businessman from Australia, and he was sitting in my cab. And that's the time when, you know, they were talking a lot about the Asian tigers at that
mm-hmm.
time. Remember the uprising
yeah.
of the of Asia at the time.
Yeah.
And I was talking with this man, and he said, forget about Asia, my brother. Forget about what you see going on over there. Africa is where it's at. He just came from Ghana. He was traveling here. He has, you know, he's an Australian businessman. He has business in Asia. He said, forget it. Don't worry about what you see going on in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Africa
mm-hmm.
is where it's at.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Telling, and you could see where the Asia has been since. And the fact is, what I like to also point out to people, right, the world economy at the moment, where China, Europe, and America is working on something like $70 to $80 trillion. Okay, that's the economy of the three places: China, America, and Europe. Right, the economies at the moment works on a GDP of about $70 to $80 trillion. Africa has got to grow an economy larger. Africa at the moment is only trading at about $4 trillion. So you see how far Africa has got to grow in order, and it has to grow an economy greater than that of America, China, and Europe combined. Okay? So the development of Africa is endless. You cannot, for the next 100 years, right, you'll be working to try to bring Africa up to a level of where the Western world is right now. So how many washing machines to be put? How many houses to be built? How many, you know, that's why I went into the block making, because as I said, for me,
mm-hmm.
House building and so forth. As I said, my problem was up against a mighty force,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the point is that I had one of the best factories, block making factory within Tanzania. But the point is, what I was saying, is that we're up against a mighty force, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, my business collapsed. But
mm-hmm.
it's not because of not trying or whatever, but I'm just saying that is why I realized we need all people to come together,
mm-hmm.
because when you had to be depending on Arabs and Chinese and other people to buy my products, and of course they will bring you down, and that's what
mm-hmm.
they did.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow. So what I know for sure, what I do see in our community right now, is that a lot of our people are more and more embracing this idea of, you know, accepting their birthright, you know, returning and visiting Africa, migrating there also, and setting up businesses. So I think you know, a positive thing is happening within our community. So, Brother Akram, I want you to share with us, at this current moment, what is the main focus, and what are we looking at within the cooperative right now? Is there anything that you're working on? Some main areas of focus.
Well, at the main area of focus at the moment, we're looking at the credit union. That is, that's something that we are trying to focus on, because to us, having that initial start where
mm-hmm.
our people can start pulling their money, where they can come in and get money
mm-hmm.
to fund whatever businesses that they want to do,
mm-hmm.
we think that is vitally important at this moment in time. So that's one of the main areas we're focusing on.
Mm-hmm. And would that just be the UK branch of the cooperative?
This is the UK branch of the cooperative, and
mm-hmm.
what we're encouraging people to do is to emulate the same thing right across the world, so that
mm-hmm.
so that we can continue to. But as I said, the importance that we will have is the knowledge and the education working across borders with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Moving things. So that means if we want to be moving things from Ghana, we can then be working with the cooperative in Jamaica in order to move
mm-hmm.
that those goods. You see what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we want to be moving things to America from Africa, then because we have the cooperative union within America, we can then be working with the cooperatives within Africa in order to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You understand? You see, my idea is this. Unless we set up cooperatives, okay, as I said, we're not going to be able to chase the Chinese out of Africa. We're not going to chase the Indians and so forth out of Africa. But if we have our own cooperative business, then we can. Right? As I said, we don't have to go to Africa to fight with nobody. All we have to do is set up business, and our business working and trading with each other. So if we're working and trading with each other, and we're not going to the Chinese man, or we're not going, what will they have to do? If their business is not succeeding enough, what will they have to do? They have to pack up and leave. Is that not so?
Yeah, quite so.
Right?
So
it's as simple as that. I mean, we don't have to fight with nobody. Very simple. We start work, and there's nothing to stop us from working and trading with each other. It's our human rights.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So true. Yep.
It's our human rights. And if people don't believe what I'm saying about the I'll give you one other example of something I learned from my country. As I said, I came here in 65 and I went back after 7 years. 7 years I went back and there was this beautiful hotel in my country. And I had a great time. I didn't know who was the owner or whatever, but I knew I had a great time. And it was my first time going back. So I'm looking, and my father died, so I promised myself that I will not stay out from the country too long. I will always go back either every year or every couple of years or whatever, but I'm not going to spend years and years outside. So 2 years later, I went back, and looking forward to going to this hotel to have a great time like I did a couple of years before, and it was closed down. It was closed down. So I asked the people there, what's wrong? I mean, you know, I went there and frogs is in the swimming pool, and they say, well, who is this man thinking is? We're not working for him, okay? Right? Mm-hmm. He was an Englishman, and as you know how the English people are, they believe that they're above other people and so forth, and our people is not like that. You have to be at the grassroots with them, or else they put you down very quickly. You understand? So they said, well, who is he? Who do you think he is? So they stopped working for him.
Uh-huh.
And because they stopped working for him, what happened? He has to close the business down. Simple as that. And that's what we need.
I'm glad people are like that in your country, Montserrat. But we have seen cases, though, where our people might be subjected to some unfair treatment, but yet still we hold, we'll still go to that business there who does not have our interests at hand, and yet we'll still work for this employer who is, handing out unfair, work environments to our people. So it's good when we can stand up as a people and say, we're not taking this from you. We're going to vote with our dollars, and we're going to take our money somewhere else, and we're not going to work for you, too. So that is good.
Exactly. I mean, that, as I said, there's so much that we can do to change the narrative about our situation. We're not, the people there said, look, we're not beggars. Who even think he is? Who does he think he is? We're not beggars. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll go down the road. We'll cut a lime. We'll squeeze some sugar in it, and we'll get some juice. We don't care. I mean, we will survive. You know.
Yes.
Right. But we're not working for peanuts. We're not working. We're not. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what we need to be carrying in Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting for the government in Africa in order to do things, we need to say, look, we are not working for these companies. Unless they pay us the right money, unless they're doing this, and so on and so forth, because so many of our people are working for nothing. And I give you one plain example. In Africa today, there is a business coming into Europe which is £2 million a day business, coming out from Africa into Europe every day. okay? It's not our business. But the planes come out from Africa every day, 2 million pounds a day. What uh-huh. business is that? It's flowers.
Flowers?
Right? Flowers, yes. From okay. Coming from Kenya and Tanzania, right? Flowers into mm-hmm. Europe, okay? 2 million pounds a day business. Now, what my wife was explaining to me, most of these people don't live very long because of the chemicals which is being used.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying, right? They want a job. They're happy to be working, so they run to this job.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be lucky if they reach 40 years of age because of the chemicals that is being. You see what I'm saying, right? And these are things that we need to be working on to change this narrative, right?
Right.
You see?
Yeah, I had a experience. My cousin was telling me about a job, you know, that he was working in this area. People would be having a lot of like coughing, respiratory yeah. problems, and everything. And my cousin would get laughed at, or they would question him when he would go back in a certain area. He would have a face mask on. He was like, and he just noticed that the people just were sick. And I was uh-huh. like, I really encourage you to report that. And so this is definitely something that I seen taking initiative as I wanted to, you know, fight for better, like, employment. Like, it didn't really make me sad. It just uh-huh. wanted me to, yeah. I wanted to do something by hearing that. And it is great, and it's not great, but ironic that you're basically telling me a story that it's not the first place. Something yeah. It's still going on, and it's not getting fixed. Like, nobody is pouring into that. And that's not okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of sad that our people have to go through, you know, bad work environments, and yet still we keep going back day after day after day. When you're working for someone who clearly doesn't have your interests at hand. So I take it these are some of the issues that the cooperative would be able to address.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying, that if we, until we as our own people come together in great numbers, that's the only way that we're going to change the narrative of this situation, right? As I said, we don't have to fight anybody. All we have to do is work with each other. Mm-hmm. And because, as I said, the idea that came out for me for the cooperative was in 95. I was in Kenya, and I went to buy a kettle. And after buying the kettle, I asked the guy for a guarantee. These were Indians. I asked mm-hmm. him for a guarantee. And he more or less told me, look, get out of here. What are you talking about guarantee? Well, me being, as I said, being a traveler, and I started making a very big noise because, I mean, to me, I'm here in UK. If I buy a kettle and I use it for 11 months and something goes wrong, I take it back and I get a new kettle or I get mm-hmm. my money back. And there in Africa, look at what we're up against. I buy a kettle this week. Then a couple of weeks later, something goes wrong with it. I take it back. I have to find money again to go and buy a new one.
Buy a new
right?
one.
You understand what I'm saying? So we will be forever poor. We will be forever poor because that man is not going to lose anything. I'm the loser, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get any use out of the capital that I spent my £10 for whatever. You see what I'm saying? And these are things which I'm saying, that with the cooperative, we can change that. We can say, look, we're going to bring proper things in for our people, that our people get the best thing. We can be building our own houses, affordable houses. There are so much that we can do within the cooperative.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
There's so much that we can do through cooperatives.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the
driving principles behind the cooperative is, you know, good ethics in whatever you do. Regarding the example that you just gave regarding buying the particular good and having to bring it back and not getting any warranty or any guarantee on it, it's like unfair trade practices that we could really address. So while other people might be doing business and they're not going about it in an ethical way, so this is something that we could, you know, roll into what we're doing within the cooperative. So it's a very good thing.
And remember, one of our greatest leaders, which many people mm-hmm. hardly ever seem to talk about, our
mm-hmm.
great leader, Julius Nyerere, of
mm-hmm.
Tanzania, and he
yep.
said, the only way Africa will come out of its poverty is through the cooperative movement. Yeah?
Mm-hmm,
he said
mm-hmm.
the only way that Africa will come out of its situation would be through the cooperative, not the capitalist system. And he
wow.
mentioned that over 50 years ago, he mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That the only way that Africa will come out of its situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book that I would also like to recommend to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's called I Can, I Must, and I Will, a book written by a Tanzanian. He died earlier last year. His name was Reginald Mendi. He was one of he was like a Rupert Murdoch in Tanzania. And he was a multimillionaire, and he wrote a book, I Can, I Must, and I Will. And I would recommend that book for
mm-hmm.
for our people as an inspirational book, you
mm-hmm.
know. Because he mentioned in that book about what motivated him. And
mm-hmm.
in Tanzania, there's a group of people which is called Chagas.
And
yeah. Chagas are kind of business people. They, for whatever reason, they just seem to excel in business. And he was mentioning about his younger brother, which was his inspiration. He said, my young brother used to take 6 eggs from my mother because, you know, my mother was very poor and so forth. But my young brother used to take 6 eggs from my mother. He would go to school, and he would sell 5 of those eggs,
mm-hmm.
and then he'd have one for his lunch.
Yeah.
And in that, he developed, you know, so he continued to do that and build himself up till that one, by the time he was able to drive, he was able to buy a vehicle that used to go from Tanzania over to Mombasa in Kenya, buy cloth,
mm-hmm.
come back and sell those cloth. That is enterprising. That is inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he himself become one of the richest men in Tanzania. You know.
Yep.
So I'm just saying it's a very enlightening book that
can
I would recommend.
Us,
that
can you give us his last name again? I heard Reginald.
Yeah, Reginald Mengi.
Mengi. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I think that's one of the things that are plaguing our community is that a lot of people might hear about starting a business or going on a little venture. And they seem to think that you can't start from small. The idea of a business when it comes to your mind is that, oh, you need a lot of money to do it. So not everyone think about it or go along the lines of a business. Because sometimes it requires so much money. And here in America, and I can just imagine the UK, is that the barrier to entry, some of the red tape that you have to clear to start a business, it costs so much. So I could see where we could use a cooperative effort, you know, to do business.
Well, most certainly. And as I said, you know, I would say my take is, as I said, it's not just business, but
mm-hmm.
it's bringing back the love that we lost. Unity, that love that we have lost about with each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
this hatred that we have for each other, this you know,
mm-hmm.
this thing that this wedge that they have put between us is to
yes.
is basically for me to bring that back to you know, to eliminate that problem,
uh-huh.
you know.
Okay.
And to me, working with each other and realizing, look, you know, I depend on my brothers in Trinidad in order to move forward. So they're my brothers. And I will I will liaise with them. I will communicate with them. I will meet with them, you know. And the idea that, as I said, when I'm a traveler, and when you if you leave from here and you go to Antigua, and your brother is going to meet you there at the airport and carry you around. You understand what I'm saying? You see how easy life is, right?
You didn't have to pay some exorbitant fees for someone to carry you around.
Exactly. And again, right, you meet someone. Okay, you might never have met them before, but because of the cooperative, because of the friendship that you all have, you become like brothers. You know? Okay? So when you're going to Ghana, the same thing, by the time you say, well, hey, I'm going to Ghana, straight away they can link you up. Oh, meet such and such in Ghana.
Yeah.
Who's going to be your friend and take you around. Okay?
Great, you see what
I'm saying? It's building that love that we need, that we have lost.
Yeah.
We need to bring it back.
Yeah. I like how you're bringing that idea about bringing back the love, because what I want you to speak to now is our brothers and sisters here in the diaspora that can't make that connection. A lot of us are here. We're doing pretty good. Some of us are living well off, and we seem to think that the struggles that our brothers and sisters are going through in another land is not our concern. And it's kind of crazy to think like that, but a lot of our people here are living in some sort of they're doing good, a little bit better off, and you could say they're living in some kind of comfort, and they don't see the struggles that another person is facing somewhere else as their own. What can you say about that?
Well, again, as I said, that is my idea of the cooperative, to bring that, because as I said, I'm in touch with people every day. These days, and Sister Tanya can probably tell you, because I send messages out all the time because of the WhatsApp. You know, many years ago, 30 years ago, when I started getting knowledge from people like Farrakhan and from other people like that who were pushing knowledge out, I used to share it a lot with other people. I mean, what I used to do in those days, we didn't have the WhatsApp, so I would actually make tapes. I would actually print documents and give it to my people. And says, look, brother, this is something that we didn't know. Can you read this? Or can you listen to this tape or something like that, you know? And sadly, I would go back maybe a month later or 2 months later and ask, did you read that document I gave you? Did you enlighten yourself about certain? And they said, no, they have not looked at it. They have not. You understand? And that is a position that a lot of us are in. And many of our people, as I said, as you just point out, we feel comfortable, right? And we don't, somehow or the other, that's what I'm saying, we've lost that love for our other brothers and sisters. We lost that care about our other brothers and sisters, right? You know, and people will say to me, oh, boy, just leave it alone. You can't change the world. You can't, you know, well, you think you can do this with the world. And say, no, that's not the way. I mean, there is something that can be done.
Wow.
And I 100% believe that something can be done. And that's, for me, why, to me, the cooperative is so vitally important to bring that love back. And as I said, you rightly say, there's a lot of our people who is not concerned and they don't really care. But how do you do that? You can only do that by when they see the cooperative movement working, right, and the people in that cooperative is having fun, then they will want to come and join. You understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
You see? Because if they see the cooperative movement, there's people that they saw that wasn't going anywhere. But suddenly, those people are going somewhere, you know, because, hey, look, because we're in a cooperative, we can pull our money and we can buy and build cheap, affordable housing for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have to go through mortgages and all of these heavy burdens in order to get what we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, through that, as I said, it's not going to happen overnight. It may take 30 years. It may take 40 years. But we have to start doing something now because, you know, it really frustrates me that over 100 years ago, we had a man of Marcus Garvey who has enlightened the world, which I hear that even people mm-hmm. from China used to spy on him to get information. And other people in the world
wow.
has taken the knowledge that he has passed on and has gone and done something with it, and we are
uh-huh.
still in the same situation that we're in, okay? It really frustrates
yeah.
me, and I'm saying, wait a minute, we had such great knowledge, such
yeah.
minds among us. Why
uh-huh,
are we still
uh-huh.
in the situation that we're in? You know? So to
wow.
me, that is the importance of, as I said, forming the cooperative, letting our people start, you know, doing things. And some of the people, as I said, when they see our people start, hey, wait a minute, that group of people over there, we thought that
mm-hmm.
they was useless, they were never going anywhere, but all of a sudden they see they start having good houses and so, then they would want to
yeah.
join. They would want
yeah.
to come in and have fun as well, you
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, everything I'm thinking about and so is a technical way of moving forward. And as I said, we don't have to fight with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do anything with anybody except to work among ourselves. Simple as that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't have to pull anyone, you know. They'll see the success. So can you tell us about, you know, how can one begin to be a part of the cooperative and contribute, whether it be financial or any other resources, to the cooperative?
Well, for me, as I said, we have got cooperatives because we have Cooperative Jackson, which is
mm-hmm.
a cooperative in Jackson, Mississippi.
They actually came over
here last year, and we were sharing knowledge and information and so forth, you know. So basically, there are cooperatives over there. You had the farmers' cooperative there and so on and so forth. So basically, what one needs to do, as I said, is to continue to form cooperatives.
Uh-huh.
Look at how we can work with each other. That is the vital important, right?
Uh-huh.
As I said, African Cooperative is a cooperative for UK. It's designed, well, as I said, that's how most cooperatives work. It works within
mm-hmm.
the sphere of each country. Each country has the different laws of how cooperatives is operated. So
mm-hmm.
basically, you would have to then set up a cooperative there. But because what I'm saying is, connecting with cooperative in the Ghana, wherever, to work with them in
mm-hmm.
how we can develop the things that we want to develop, to move things. That means instead of having to looking for some source to be the one that you're supplying goods to, you supply it to your cooperative brother in America or your cooperative brother in Jamaica, or you buy
mm-hmm.
the goods from your cooperative brother in Jamaica and then bring it to Atlanta and then sell it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You see what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
we need to be doing is setting up cooperatives in Jamaica, in Trinidad, and so forth. And as I said, by so doing, you become so
mm-hmm.
powerful. Within some time, or maybe the next 40, 50 years, we probably would have something like maybe 50 million people in cooperatives across the world. Right now in UK, there is 11 million people in cooperatives in UK alone,
mm-hmm.
in different little cooperatives, if you
okay.
understand what I'm saying. Yeah?
Yep.
So basically, that's what we need to be doing, right? So we need to be forming cooperatives in all of these different countries and learning.
Mm-hmm.
People need to go and study the cooperative principle, learn how it works, try to get an understanding of it, because this is not something that we were educated in. We were educated
yep.
in the capitalist way.
So
now there's a new way that we need to be educating ourselves in,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, they're not going to teach you that in school.
No.
So we have to go and learn it for ourselves.
So
right?
when a satellite cooperative is set up, how is it tied to the African cooperative in the UK? Would you serve as the headquarter? Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, again, as I said, it depends on how the people want it to be, because basically a cooperative is done by people's making decisions of how things will be done. It's not cooperatives is not an individual person's thing. So therefore, if the people in the cooperatives around, we can say, hey, we'll set up a headquarters in Ghana, who will be the, just like what Mondragon has. Because Mondragon, although it sounds like one cooperative, but it's not one cooperative. They have about 100 and something, but over 100 different branches that makes up the Mondragon. If you understand, okay?
Yeah.
It's called Mondragon, but the point is what I'm saying is they are individual businesses that makes up that cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But they have a central bank. They have a central bank, right, which is, you know, and the people participate and contribute to all this, the development that they want. And what happens is within Mondragon, as I said, you can check it out.
I'm actually looking at it now.
Right. And what happens is that if one cooperative is having a problem, the others will say, well, we'll back you up. You know, we will not allow you to collapse. Right.
Okay.
We will back you up. You follow what I'm saying? Right.
Uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh.
So this is the, yeah?
So it's more of a network of partnerships.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Some good information. So I heard you mention this term earlier, the cooperative principle. Can you expand on that a little so people can know exactly, you know, what does a cooperative look like?
Well, the cooperative has several, there are several principles of the cooperative. And the cooperative, each person has one member, one vote. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in a cooperative, it's not about how much money you put into the cooperative. You don't have any bigger, say than the other person. Every person has a vote. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like here in UK, the maximum amount of money that we're allowed to invest is up to £20,000. But a person who's got £20,000 in...
I'm sorry. Say that again. The maximum amount of money you're able to...
invest in the cooperative is £20,000. Okay? Which is because our share starts at £50 per share.
Okay.
So that's about... That's 20,000 shares. So, therefore, you know... But what I'm saying is, whether you have one share or whether you have 400 shares, it doesn't matter. You all still have only one vote.
Yeah.
Right? That's the cooperative principle. You use a word earlier, which is called ethical. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the cooperative is based on an ethical principle. You know, very, very ethical. In its dealings, but there are seven principles of the cooperative that around the world that it is based upon. You can actually check out the seven principles of the cooperative, to get a better understanding of what cooperatives are. But it works on seven principles, and one of those principles is like the Ujamaa. It's very much similar like the seven Nguzo Saba. They're based on the cooperative principle. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that is how a cooperative works, you know. And as I said, it's something that our people need to go and learn You know, and study. It should be university studying, really, or school studying, because, as I said, it's the way forward. You know, if we're going to move forward, there's something that we need to carry forward with us and move away from the capitalist movement.
So true. I'm glad you came on the show today to share all this information with us. It gives us a new avenue to look at things and to pursue what we want to achieve. Because I'm already thinking about, you know, how can we start getting this into motion. So I wanted to speak to if there are currently any projects or ventures that is active on the plate of the African Cooperative Union.
Well, as I said, at the moment, it is being very difficult selling it to our people. You know, it's been very difficult. I'm not saying it is easy, because just like I'm explaining to you, and as you were pointing out, many of our people are comfortable, especially here in UK, because here in UK, if you're sick, you go to the hospital, you get treatment. If you're not working, you can go, and they even give you a house. And so most people don't feel that their back is up against the wall, that they really have to come together. You understand what I'm saying? You know. Although of late over here, we have the situation of police. Well, in America, it is much bigger. We have the police is killing a lot of our people on the street. You know, some of those things are happening here as well. But again, as I say, for a lot of people, until it happens in their neighborhood or something, they really don't care about it. I mean, it's not something here. And also, one of the other areas here, we have a lot of mixed races. People are mixing in things. So therefore, most of the people are not really looking back at the black side of their family, you know. So that is also another issue.
Oh, wow.
Okay? You understand, see? So therefore, they say, hey, why am I going to get involved in your black thing? I mean, because my children is not going to be coming to Jamaica, or they're not going to be interested, you know, because my grandchildren is not going to be interested in that. So therefore, they of themselves don't really care, or they don't get involved. And that is very heavy over here. I don't know if it's the same in America, but obviously America has got a much larger population of you know, which is about 40 million blacks there. Again, something like this also can also help the people of Brazil, if they can, because they're in a very bad situation. And again, the cooperative movement can really turn things around for them, you know. You see. And that's the only way that they can turn things around for themselves, especially there in Brazil, you know.
So you mentioned the term back against the wall, and it is quite true. I think Malcolm X used that term before, saying, you know, we never know ourselves until our back's against the wall. And sometimes, even me myself, I try to wonder, you know, how was Marcus Garvey able to achieve what he did in his days, because he was well ahead of his time. And I think is that our people were going through a lot more then, you know.
They were exactly. I mean, at that time, the people they saw themselves, their backs up against the wall. But once the white men starts hugging them up, then they forget about that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
right?
You see what I'm saying? So every time the white man see, they bring you a little something, give you a little something, making you think that you're okay, and then you forgot about the struggle you were actually going through. You're back to square one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So I want to remind our people not to become complacent in this thing. You know, still realize that we have a lot to work on, and we have a lot more to go. So not to be complacent, because we're still not above the water yet, and we can speak to things that are happening today. So I used to study history of our people's history a lot, and you know, I see all the things that we used to go through back in the days. And some people kind of think that, oh, that's history and it's not happening again, when it's in fact wrong, because some of the atrocities that happened then is still happening today. And we can speak to things that are in the news now. Recently, we heard about the doctors in France just openly discussing using Africans as a test ground. And I'm hearing reports coming out of the UK where someone wanted to go to the hospital for COVID symptoms, and they were told they're not a priority. So our people are still going through a lot, and not to be...
Well, right now, thankfully, there is a sister from is she from Botswana? No, she's from Zimbabwe, but I think she's now living in Ghana. Dr. Ariakana.
Oh yeah,
she's
from Zimbabwe, living in Ghana.
Yeah, and I think that our people need to connect with her a lot more because Malcolm X, we have not had someone of her stature since the days of Malcolm X. And I support everything that she's saying are the same things I've been saying for the last 30 years, you know? And it's, to me, she's like a breath of fresh air, bringing all what I've been trying to say all along, that we can be, we need to be doing, and can do, we can do it. I mean, I don't see any reason why we cannot do it. And for me, action is the main key. And I believe that a lot more connection needs to be with her in order to be able to strengthen the ideas that she has and the movement that she is working on. I believe that many more of our leaders need to be connecting with her, because she's a great visionary, right?
Yep.
And one of the things that, alongside of the cooperative that I set out, was that if we are going to move forward, we need to set up a great education system. And, you know, because in Africa at the moment, we have international schools, and I know because my daughter went to school in there in Africa. And you know, every term you can see the people, because people are looking to educate their children, right? See, people are looking to educate their children in Africa. But where is the African diaspora school? We have American international schools, Swedish international school, but where is the diaspora schools, right? You know, where is our institution? You know, I was in safari, and one of the things that a young man, the guide on the safari in the middle of the jungle, told me, he said, look, one of the great problems that we have, we don't have institutions of studying these people. They have institutions of studying us.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have our own institution to study them?
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? And I was taken aback with this young man. You know what I mean? This young man there in the middle of the jungle. He's telling me our problem is we don't have institutions of studying these people, right? And this is what we need. We need education, right? We need a strong education program. Right, from our people in the diaspora, with the knowledge that we have attained living among these people in the West. And I give you an example. Many years ago, I was buying something in Tanzania, and they wrapped it up in some paper. And of course, I'm a very curious person. So when I went home, I opened up, and it was the document. It was about a lecture coming out from the University of Dar es Salaam. This is some over 15 years ago. Uh-huh. And the lecturer was pointing out Africa can benefit from the people of the diaspora just like it did 200 years ago when the people of the diaspora went back and set up Fur Bay College in West Africa, where there were more people in education than in West Africa at the time than there was in UK.
Wow.
This is 200 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? When the people went back in West Africa, they were doing extremely well. But, of course, they allowed the colonialists to come in and destroy
uh-huh.
what they had and what they set up, right? Okay? And it's time for us to go back to that. Our people
uh-huh.
need to be going back with diaspora schools.
Schools.
Teaching visionary, teaching
mm-hmm.
our people to be visionary and leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a great need for that sort of education to be taught across Africa. It may take us 20 years. It may take us 30 years to get many of our people to come to that way. And out
mm-hmm.
of those, we should be able to, out of our diaspora schools, we should be able to develop the leaders that Africa needs because they come out from our school with a different education, with a different
uh-huh.
mindset, an Afrocentric mindset, not that of the Western mindset.
Uh-huh.
And that for me is one of the main keys. And also at the same time, we should do that. It should also help to build up again friendship. Because then
yeah.
if you are giving good education to the people there, in you know, because a lot of people are saying, well, oh, we're not very welcome. And this, but if we are giving good education to the people, right? Because many of us are going back with our two long empty hands. What are we?
Uh-huh.
And the people are saying, well, wait a minute. What are you coming for? What are you
yeah.
bringing? When you come, what are you bringing?
Uh-huh.
You know? You're coming to Africa, but what are you bringing?
Yeah.
Right? And one of the things that we can bring, because as I said, we don't have the money of the Chinese or the Arabs or whatever. So therefore, what we bring is education.
Uh-huh.
We take education where we can educate, you know, that different education. It's not that Africans are not educated. They are very educated.
Uh-huh.
The point is, what I'm saying is, that different education edge that we have had living among the Western people, we can then take that can be the difference. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
People
so,
must not
so,
understand. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No problem. So we do have someone on online. I've been waiting for quite some time now. Sometimes we do have people calling to listen, you know, the numbers. Sometimes we have people who have questions. Or so we're going to bring this person on to see if they have a question for you so we could answer that real quick or if they have any information they want to share. So, caller, you are on. Just state it, your name, and let us know if you have a question. So, caller, you are on 25.
Yes, greetings everyone. This is Alicia Goodman, Conyers, Georgia. I didn't have any, I did have one or two questions, but I
uh-huh.
also had, you know, one or two comments as well.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I wanted to kind of go back. I had an opportunity to listen in on Facebook with Sister Yah today, and
mm-hmm.
In the live stream, you know, there
yep.
was something that she talked about, and it was back in the day, you know, when during her parents' or her grandparents' time, when the community worked together, the black
yep.
community, you
mm-hmm.
know, they worked together. And so cooperative economics is not anything new. It's just something that got pushed out. As a matter of fact, after the Civil War, going into and past Reconstruction, there were black Americans in this country that built cities, that
yeah.
built towns.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and kind of look that up, but they got burnt down, bombed, killed, and lynched for doing it. Yep, and so by the time the Civil Rights marches came, it wasn't that they were just marching just to be marching. They were marching because in addition to the fact that we were getting lynched and bombed and castrated every time black people were circulating their own dollars, they were getting killed because of it.
Yeah.
So I am, you know, I just wanted to kind of say that. Also, moving ahead in terms of education, and, of course, you know, those of us that grew up here, we were educated in the West, and, you know, we have, you know, advanced degrees and things like that. But back to what something that Sister Yaw was talking about is that hopefully we also get an opportunity to do some knowledge exchange there, not just with us, but even with our children, because there are some things that our children know that they could share with the children that are on the continent, and there are some things that the children on the continent know.
Yes.
You know, it could, you know, that's another thing that I would like to see a knowledge and information exchange among our children.
Yep. So you're so right.
That's something that I look forward to.
Yeah, you're right, and we know of all the cases where our people have built amazing businesses and communities, entire communities and towns here in America, but to their detriment, that ended very bad, and that speaks to what they were going through in those times. So we need not to lose track and pick up from where they left off, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, what she's saying is very true, and it is something that that is, you know, that, but as you rightly say, we need to get back on track with it, you know, because as I said, quite a few people, as you're pointing out, is doing well, so therefore, you know, they don't consider why I'm doing well, why can't he do it just as well. But what they need to do is to be educated that that's not the case. It doesn't mean because you're doing well that others, you know, have the same. Look, as I said to you, right now, there's quite a few people, a few friends of mine, who are now millionaires. Why are they millionaires? Mm-hmm. Because I share knowledge with them. Things that they didn't think that they can do, things, you know, and so on and so forth. And I share knowledge with them. And they're, oh, right, okay. And, you know, like a friend of mine, one day I was sitting down with him in Tanzania in a little office, not much bigger than the space of a car. That was his office. And I pointed out to him, look, it's my dream one day to have a multi-story building like this in Africa. Now, some years back, I took a friend of mine who is a millionaire, guy, and we went to see him, and went to see him in his office, and his office is a massive building, and he pointed out to my friend, I was the one who gave him that ability to be where he is, by sitting down with him in that room that day, pointing out it's my dream to have like that building. He has taken it and make it his own.
Yeah.
Right? You see? Right? I said, you don't have to go to America. You don't have to go to UK. Right here in Africa, you can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to. You understand what I'm saying? Right? You see? So even the same friend of mine, I mean, because when he was going through a great divorce, and but he used to come down with me to Africa, and in those days, and about 50, and you know, he went through a great divorce. He lost a lot of his business and house and things. But, you know, afterwards, after the divorce, he wrote to me, he said, look, thank you for letting me come down. Because, you know, I see, because he didn't allow that divorce to destroy him, to pull his hair out. And he said, hey, because I'm looking at other people around me, and I'm seeing what they have, and so forth. And what I'm losing is not, now he's, Now he's going back to Africa now by himself, you know, to buy properties and other things there. Uh-huh. You see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
I didn't give him
okay,
money.
So,
I didn't give him
Alicia,
money. I just gave him an idea.
An idea. Great. Great. We appreciate that. So, Alicia, we want to thank you for your contribution. We have about 4 minutes, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up with Brother Akram. So we're very thankful for your call.
Yes, thank you. So blessed to hear all this great information.
Yep. Okay, so Brother Akram, I'm going to go ahead and give out the website for the African Cooperative Union. It's very easy. Three letters. Can't get any easier than that. ACU.coop. ACU.coop. It's a very easy website name to remember. So check out the website if you need some more information. Brother Akram, I want to ask you this question. If someone wanted some guidance on how to structure and set up a cooperative in their region that they're in, is there a way we could contact you to get some guidance on setting it up?
Well, yes, you can. You can contact us, and we will try to work with you all in trying to, even if we cannot ourselves directly from here, we can because we have links with other cooperatives within America, and that we can also point out to come and help you set up the cooperative. Yeah, most certainly.
Okay, great. So we get your contact information from the website. There's a contact us section on the website. So great. That is good to know that our people can contact you. And there's also a phone number on the website too. So again, the website is acu.coop. You can get in contact with Brother Akram if you need guidance in setting up a cooperative where you are. I know I definitely will be reaching out because we need to incorporate this in the Pan-African Village Project in Ghana, more so the Asebu area of Ghana. I'm not sure if you heard of this, what's going on, Brother Akram. The chief, the paramount chief, has set aside 5,000 acres of land for us in the diaspora who want to move there, you know, build a house or set up any kind of business there.
Well, that to me is very good. I mean, as I said, on the Galaxy, they were talking, radio here, they were talking about that. They were saying that there's some place that was... which was the size of my country, because they mentioned 35 square miles, and I'm saying this is something that should be like having a domino effect right across Africa, because the fact is that villages should be set up, the government, we should, you know, and that's why I'm saying that people should get in touch with Dr. Ariakana, because, as I said, maybe through her movement, these things can be, be pushed forward, because the government of Africa need to understand that the diaspora is there and they can play a very critical role in the upliftment of Africa, and and also to carry our vision with them, you know, to them, because as you rightly said, which is what I've always said, it's not that the African governments have opportunities, right? They want to build a state. They want to build a stadium. They put the tender out for who will build this. But where is our big cooperative construction companies that will take up these offers? You understand?
Yeah.
So they have no choice but to give it to the Chinese. And the Chinese is coming in with a bulk of money. I mean, they're even beating everybody hands down, because whilst other people are looking for the money, the Chinese government just give it to their people and say, oh, go get on with it. You understand?
Yeah.
You
see? Yeah.
So this is what we need to be doing. And I don't see why many of our construction companies, and I'm sure with the facilities that is there in America, that they should be able to get the money, in order that when these governments put out these business ideas, that they should be able to apply for those jobs to be done.
Yeah.
Contracts.
It's very,
you know,
it's very insightful. So I wish more of our people could reach out and start, you know, taking advantage of these opportunities. So we're a little bit in overtime now. I want you to take 1 minute and give us your final comments on the cooperative, the African Cooperative Union.
Well, as I said, people can go to our website, and you just gave the details out, and they can write to us at info@africancooperativeunion.coop. or info@africancooperativeunion.com, and you know, and if they want information, as I said, we have a website, and that website is very well documented. Or they can, if they want any further information of setting up cooperatives and whether we can help or how they can best work with us, they can get in touch with us through the contact details that we have on the website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, great.
So, thank you all for letting me to be a voice on your radio show. Hopefully that we'll be able to do it again some other time. Really appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the pleasure is ours, and we really do hope our people got a lot of valuable information from this, and the main thing, we'll be taking action on it. So I'll definitely be reaching out to you for some guidance. In setting up cooperative. We want to thank you again from our team here at Sankofa Repat Podcast, and we hope that you have a great rest of your day, and definitely we will be talking about this cooperative structures within the future again.
Okay,
so
thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your morning.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Adriana, for co-hosting again. It's always very lovely having you here. Okay, so we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. As always, we do value your listenership. Remember to check out our website at sankofarepat.com. Have a great day.